Does anybody notice what's different up here this Sunday? White. That's right. The pyramids have changed color. The green is gone. If you look at your bulletins, you'll see that the familiar Xth week after Pentecost is gone, and that today is a Sunday known as the Reign of Christ. Today we're going to pivot. We're going to turn towards Advent, that season in which we prepare ourselves for the arrival of the Christ child. But before we do that, we're going to take a day to reflect on who that Christ child is. We're going to take a moment to remind ourselves that the little baby is destined to become king of the universe. The mewling infant in a manger is going to be enthroned in glory. The child who is dependent upon Mary and Joseph is the one who will rule over all. Christ reigns. You remember we proclaimed that on Easter? Christ reigns indeed. But what does that mean? Well, we know Jesus has this unsettling penchant for taking our expectations and turning them upside down. Kings are supposed to live in big palaces. They're supposed to have lots of followers, nice clothes, fast cars. They're supposed to be on top of the world with everybody responding to their beck and call. But not Jesus. We know that Jesus has a very different model of leadership. That for Jesus, being a leader means being a follower. It means serving others and putting others' interests first. The Benedictus, the hymn of praise from Zechariah that we read together as a call to worship, was a proclamation of Jesus' coming reign, that he would deliver the people, that he would be the Savior. The gospel reading from later in Luke shows us just what kind of king Jesus is. He's a king who chooses a cross for his throne. He's a king who, rather than seek the easy way out, who didn't choose to lead a political movement, but instead remained true to the word of God. A king who at the very end wasn't focused on himself, but a criminal, also nailed to a cross. That is leadership Jesus style. That, for us as Christians, should define the way we understand leadership. And as Christians who claim the Old Testament as part of our scriptures, it needs to inform the way we read those words. And so we have this famous passage from Genesis that Alden read a few moments ago, in which humanity is given dominion over the beasts of the land and the birds of the sky and the fish of the sea, over the trees and the grass, over everything in the world. And this passage has been the source of so much mischief over the years by Christians and by those who take issue with the Christian enterprise. There are those who read this and say, it's clear, God gave us the world for us to exploit. We're in charge. Everything that is here is for our benefit. And there are those who have read this text and laid all of our planet's environmental woes at the feet of Christianity, saying, see, this is what they believe. Christians introduced this into our thinking, and as a result, we've got problems. But to those who cite this text to support exploitation of the environment, of creation, to those who look to this text and want to lay blame for the world's ills at the feet of our faith, I have to say, you've got it wrong. Here we see the word dominion or lordship. And we as Christians can only look at this word, this concept, through the lens of Jesus. What does it mean then to have dominion if we are followers of Christ? It means that we are here to serve, that we are here to protect, that we are here to care. Many years ago, back in the mid-90s, I had a staff of people who reported to me. And every summer, I would go off on vacation. And this was before everybody had a cell phone, before people had BlackBerries and constant access to email. And so I would leave my telephone number where I was going with one person in the office to contact me in case of any real emergencies. And another person in my staff came to me very concerned, wanting to know where I was going to be, what my telephone number was. And I looked at her and I said, you don't need my number. You guys can take care of things if I'm not here. She said, well, what if there's a problem? I said, you'll deal with it. Well, we can't do that. I said, sure you can. You people are smart. That's why I hired you. She was still very uncomfortable with this responsibility. And finally, I said, here's the number. You can call it in case of a real emergency, like a meteor striking this building. In which case, you don't have to call me because I'll probably hear about it. She got the message. I had confidence in her. That's the kind of confidence that God places in us. When God gave us dominion over creation, God left us minding the store. God hasn't wandered off and abandoned creation. But when God created humanity, before humanity even spoke or did anything, God decided to invest his trust, his faith, that we could care for his creation. It's a pretty big job. How do we do it? What does it mean? It's become very fashionable in the church, particularly churches like ours, to talk about the environment and how absolutely critical it is we deal with issues pertaining to climate change or recycling. But the danger when we have these conversations is that we can slip from our Christian moorings into a woolly-headed earth worship. And as Christians, we're not called to do that, because everything we are called to do is meant to be done in the service of God. The earth is holy. The animals on it, the birds that fly over it, the fish in the seas, the plants and the trees are holy. You and I, we're holy. But we're holy because God created us. And after God created us, God said that we were good. All these things that God has declared to be good have been placed in our care. So how do we care? How do we respond? We can start by studying Scripture to understand exactly what it says and what it means. We can pray for guidance and wisdom, just what Jesus did. But then, just like Jesus, we can also go out into the world. We can identify the things that are wrong and take action. We can support those in need of help. And when that issue, when those problems involve creation, we can act at a number of different levels. We can do simple things. Turn off the lights when we leave a room. Turn down the thermostat in the winter. Or for me, in the summer, wait a little bit longer before turning on the air conditioner. We can ask ourselves where we're driving and why, what kind of car we're in. As a church community, there are little things we can do that we've started doing. Many of you have noticed that on Communion Sundays, we're using glass cups now instead of the plastic ones. We made a decision in the diaconate that we weren't going to keep purchasing these petroleum-based products and then throw them out every month. We've cut down on the paper we're using in our bulletins. The coffee we use on Sunday mornings is equal exchange coffee. The whole premise is to support local farmers who are engaged in sustainable practices and trying to engage in business in a way that helps them preserve the places they live. Stewardship of creation isn't just about the environment. It's about the people who live in it. So we need to also familiarize ourselves with larger issues. Our denomination for more than 20 years has been lifting up the problem of what is now called environmental racism. There's no surprise behind the fact that manufacturing facilities that produce toxic waste, plants that pour effluents into water supplies, are usually located in areas where communities are poor and have no political power. We as a church, as a people, are called to speak up against such injustices. We're called to be informed about issues. Daniel Patrick Moynihan, the late senator from New York, once said that everybody is entitled to his own opinions, but nobody is entitled to his own facts. We need to be able to talk intelligently about issues like climate change so we can participate in discussions about what to do. I could sit here today and hit you with statistics about shrinking ice caps and glaciers, about rising temperatures. You've heard these things before. I'm not going to do that because I want us to focus on the theological imperative here about our call as Christians. We will be putting up links on our website to resources from our church and other churches. And my hope is that in the weeks and months to come, we as a church can begin to talk about these issues and things we can do and ways we can act. As Christians, our faith always needs to be balanced. We start off with developing our relationship with God in Christ. But if that relationship, if that faith is to have meaning, we then need to do as Jesus did. as the prophets that Jesus quoted did. We need to go out into the world and take action. Today, we as a church are not only pivoting into the season of Advent, but we as a church are pivoting into a future. A future with grave challenges for us as individuals and a society. We are called by God to respond to these challenges from the foundation of our faith. Dealing with creation and its stewardship isn't an add-on. It isn't a hot topic of the day. But it's something that is fundamental to our faith. This isn't my world. This isn't your world. It's God's world. And I don't know about you, but I'm not completely comfortable with the conversation I might have with my Creator if I were called to talk about my stewardship of it today. We've been left minding the store. How good a job of that have we really been doing? This issue within the church transcends whether we're evangelicals or mainliners or Protestants or Catholics or Orthodox. We are all called to be stewards of the world that God has created. We have not been called to trash it. My suspicion is that just about everybody here really likes living in the Upper Valley for, among other reasons, the fact that it is such a beautiful place. We've got the wonderful foliage season in the fall. During the summer, it's cooler here. We can go skiing right down the street in the winter. And we've got lakes to swim in during the summer. It's easy for us in our little corner of the world to not pay attention to what's happening in other corners of the globe. But we as Christians are called to look beyond our neighborhood and to look to the wider world. God has left us minding the store. We don't know when God is going to come back to get the keys. The early Christians believed that Jesus' return was imminent. Well, 2,000 years later, he hasn't come back. But guess what? That doesn't mean he isn't coming back. That doesn't mean that each of us won't be held accountable for what we have done with the good earth of which God has given us dominion. My hope and my prayer is that we can attack this issue, whether in our own lives, as a congregation, as a community, in a way that helps people understand that faith is a way for us to care for the world. That we feel blessed to have been trusted by God with stewardship of creation. I'll return to this issue in the future. There's more to say about it. There's more for us to talk about. But as we contemplate that future, as we look at the many challenges that face us, as we look at questions involving climate change and the environment, and people who are living in parts of the world where there isn't clean water, we as Christians need not despair, because we are a people of hope. We are a people with a God who trusts us, who has confidence in us, who believes in us, who has made us partners in creation, who believes that you and I are indeed up to minding the storm.